Morning, everyone. Thank you, Gary. If you get a lot of references in the Bible about a certain topic or an issue, it would be safe to say that it is something that potentially could be important to God. And I want to reflect on one of those topics that is echoed throughout the annals of human history, but unfortunately is still alive and well today. And that is oppression. It takes many forms and exists in many contexts, both social and political. Now, I googled oppression in the Bible, and depending on which link you picked on, it sort of gives 40 to 60 verses about God's view on oppression. Verses like, "Here is what the Lord who rules over all said to the people, treat everyone with justice. Show mercy and tender concern to one another. Do not take advantage of widows. Do not mistreat children whose fathers have died. Do not be mean to outsiders or poor people. Do not make evil plans against one of them." Another verse, "Don't take advantage of poor people just because they're poor. Don't treat badly those who are in need by taking them to court." Another one, "Anyone who laughs at those who are poor and makes fun of their maker, anyone who is happy when others suffer will be punished. The Lord works righteous and justice for all the oppressed. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the seas and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. He sets the prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over foreigners and sustains the fatherless and the widow." And Jesus himself declared at the very beginning of his ministry, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery for the sight of the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the Lord's favor." God's heart is for the poor, the oppressed, and the marginalized. He has a special place in his heart for those that the world and society rejects. You see, oppression is a systematic and very often subtle excess use of power and control over individuals and groups. It's denying them basic rights, dignity, and opportunities to live. Oppression comes in many forms: social, economic, gender orientation, educational, theological. And it shows itself through unequal access of resources, discrimination, and exclusion. And one of the saddest things that in the history of the world is the institution of the church has been one of the great oppressors of people. Because the moment someone believed anything that was different to the status quo, they were persecuted. Andrew sent out some stuff that mentioned some of the things that the church has done in the past. The Crusades, who justified the killing of people who did not convert to Christianity based on some micro verses. The Inquisition, a period when people who believed different were put to trial and, if found guilty, executed. Canonicalism, the forcing of a culture and belief system on a less powerful group of people. The promotion of the slave trade, the support of apartheid and segregation, the treatment of women where women were second-rate citizens. But probably the most notable long-term oppression on one group of people throughout history that the church has done, again, based, I believe, on two scriptures. And it took the realization that the people that they were oppressing were people. 4 million, in fact, who died in the Holocaust. For so long, the church had oppressed Jews, not seeing them as people at all, and it took the death of 4 million for the church to realize, oh, we may have got this wrong. You see, all of these things were justified by micro understanding of some issues. And so the church has this history of being oppressor, getting caught up in the micro issues and missing the big picture. They were missing the mega narrative of what God is actually calling us to, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, in the verses that we had read from the corrugated iron version, Mark goes on to say that the love of your neighbor is more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. You see, it was more important than what they believed and based their belief system on, because Jesus is saying that everything that they believe and practice must be viewed through the tinted glasses of love. Must be viewed through the tinted glasses of love. Without that, then everything else they did was a waste of time. Simply because love is the trump card above all else. So how should we respond to the oppressed and the marginalized today? Who's heard of WWJD? It was a bit of a phase going, what was it? What would Jesus do? Well, see, I'm not so much a WWJD as more of a WDJD. What did Jesus do sort of person? Now, they say that parents shouldn't have a favourite child. This being Father's Day, children, I want to say it's a great opportunity for you to become the favourite child. Do not hesitate in the providing of minimum food, anyway, for your dad. I've received nothing, so neither of my kids are favoured, end of story. Although Jacob's not here, so I might lean towards Nathaniel just for the day. But I'm sorry, for me, I do have a favourite section of the Bible. I love the Gospels. I love the fact that the God, the creator of the universe, who holds everything in his hand, decided to become like me. Become Emmanuel, to walk amongst us, to interact with us. And so theologically, all of my views are very much tinted by the Gospels. You see, the Old Testament and everything about it, all of that points to Jesus. The epistles and Acts and Revelations, all of that points back to Jesus. And so for me, the Gospels is the basis of my theology. So what did Jesus do with the marginalized and the oppressed in society? Well, over the next 3 weeks after, as we continue our discussion, I will be looking at some instances of what Jesus did with the marginalized. And we're going to start today with the first encounter. And it is Jesus and the man suffering from a skin disease. A man suffered from a dreaded skin disease came to Jesus, bent down and begged him for help. If you want to, he said, you can make me clean. And Jesus was filled with pity, reached out and touched him. I do want to, he answered. Be clean. And at once the disease left the man and he was clean. The general theory is this, the man had leprosy, which was a fairly common skin condition in the time of Jesus, and people thought that it was a contagious disease. And this led to leprosy sufferers being treated as absolute and total social outcasts. And as a result, there were strict restrictions on Jewish scripture to try to stop the spread of disease. And Jesus, the Jewish people believe that if you came in contact with a leper, you too would become unclean. Because if you were unclean, then you could not enter the temple. You could not participate in society. You could not even meet with God. So lepers were often forced to live in colonies, and they weren't allowed to come close to towns and villages. They were a subculture. But you see, people with leprosy still desired the same basic desires that everyone else has. They desired a sense of belonging. They desired a sense of value and worth. They desired a sense of acceptance. They desired a sense of love. And they were denied these rights to participate fully in society based on the micro issues of a couple of verses in Leviticus to justify them to be oppressed and marginalized. See, Jesus didn't like that the law separated someone from society because they were unclean. Because Jesus understood it wasn't the outside of a person that made them unclean, but their heart, their innermost being. And so Jesus' response was to do the unthinkable. He reached out and he touched the man. He reached out and touched what society deemed to be unworthy, to be clean, to be dirty, to be unacceptable. And Jesus reached out and touched him, and in that action broke down the social norms of what was clean and unclean. It brought restoration, not just physical transformation, but social, emotional, and relationship healing for the man. Because, see, Jesus understood the mega narrative. Jesus understood the big picture was far more important than the micro issue. Jesus understood that love is the trump card. What could happen if today we touched the lepers in our society? What would happen to those on the margins if we were to touch them with the love of Jesus? What transformation in their lives could happen if they have an encounter with Jesus because we chose to love them? That's the first encounter. Next week will be a second encounter. Let's pray. Father, so often when we look at the jigsaw puzzle of the kingdom of God and who you are and your love and your grace, sometimes we feel that we can take out one piece of the puzzle and claim that this is what God is like. But it's such a small piece, and on its own may make sense one way, but when we put it back into the picture, into the puzzle, we see what the puzzle is all about. May we not ever lose sight of the two commands that Jesus said were above all else. May we love the Lord our God with all our hearts and all our souls and all our minds. And may we love our neighbors, knowing in the story that Jesus says the neighbor is the one that you love the least. May we become people who live by the rules of the kingdom of God and not by the norms of the society of God. Father, forgive us, the church, for those times where we have set up the rules for ourselves for power. May we set up the rules to bring freedom and joy and grace and love and mercy, the kingdom of God. Amen.